All right. Thank you all for coming. As you said, thank you for that. I'm a PhD student in Iowa State University, and today I'm going to present part of my research project. My main study is, what's the plant response to nitrogen fertilization? What's the response in physiology and phenology for nitrogen fertilization? Thinking more in the mechanisms of the plant to change yield under nitrogen conditions. Today we're going to talk about phenology, and this was the title I thought a couple months ago when I submitted the abstract. And my point with this was to make clear the difference between growth and development. We can think growth as plant biomass, and that's the bigger part of the title, or faster, and that's I'm pointing to development. But with more data, then we decided to change a little the title, and now this should be the official title. Let's put it as a question, what's the real effect? And truly, it's complicated. But we have an experiment that we think is pretty good at taking the environmental aspect apart, and this kind of could be a good model to study this relationship between growth, development, and nitrogen fertilization. So why Miscanthus giganteus? Well, we all know this. It's a potential biomass crop. It's been extensively studied. A recent meta-analysis covered almost 1,000 yield estimates for nitrogen fertilization. And the other thing that is really important is it's sterile. So that means that it's propagated by cones, supposedly minimal genetic variability, and reduced genotypic by environment interaction. However, once you pull some data out, this is what you see. Even though each experiment has the same clone, we see an interaction between the nitrogen response and the sites where they study. So this raises the question, well, what other factors could be affecting this nitrogen response? And again, I just bring a small list, but the trend is always the same. And in other parts of my PhD, I'm studying soil types, growing season length, among other things. And then the other one is it the best approach? I think we're approaching this problem as more an empirical thing. We put nitrogen, we measure yield at the end of the growing season, but what happened in between, that could be another thing to consider, how plants get to this final yield. I believe that if we understand the plant's response, if we get a better understanding of the system, we could be better positioned to solve this problem. So phenology is going to be what I'm going to study, what I'm going to present today. So along the growing season, plants go through changes in size, they grow, but also they develop new structures. So when we consider the development of these new structures and how the plant adapts to different environment conditions, weather, soil, among others, that's phenology. And the good thing about this is that it works as a specific biological time scale. If you were to think in a simple case, three main checkpoints, emergence, flowering, and senescence. This simple timeline could be extremely important for yield, for example. If we're working in grain crops, well, we may want to consider this area in which we are filling grain. But for us, since we're biomass producers, this is our main part. So again, phenology has a role in yield. And the other part is that when we put nitrogen here, how nitrogen affects each one of these landmarks, we don't know. The literature, nitrogen phenology is scarce and is inconclusive. That's why Miscanthus with low genetic variability could help. The other important aspect of phenology is that it could help comparing stand age and nitrogen effect. If we are comparing a 3-year-old stand and a 1-year-old stand, they may both have the same number of leaves, but the biomass could be totally different. Or other way, same biomass, but different stand age, but different number of leaves. And with N effects, it's the same. If we are saying that nitrogen made the plant stand emerge earlier, well, maybe developmentally older, but we are used to comparing nitrogen effects at a set sampling date. When we harvest, we compare the biomass. But maybe those are not at the same stand age, so it could be an unfair comparison. So with this, the main questions I got for these presentations are how Miscanthus development is affected by nitrogen fertilizations, and those are the four main things I'm going to consider: leaf and stem development, emergence, flowering, and senescence. And then how these changes affect biomass. Is that biomass response driven only by nitrogen, or nitrogen first affects phenology, and that change in phenology is what changes biomass? So for this, we set up three experimental sites. Today I want to talk about only one in central Iowa, in which what we did is five nitrogen rates, but also we repeated this experiment in time. So we planted these four reps, five nitrogen rates in 2015. We planted again last year and again this year. So with this, we are able to compare how each individual stand grows, but also to compare across in the same growing conditions, different stand ages. So with this, we can tear apart the year effect, the environmental conditions, and the stand age effect. For today, I'm going to talk mainly about these boxes. And while I'm presenting, these data is going to be confusing, so I'm going to spend time with the graphs as well. So things I measure: for emergence, ID stem count, quarter square meter quadrats, count the number of stems. And then for the development, with the stem harvest, they were taken to the lab, and we assessed the morphology by the number of spandrel leaves on each stem, palpable nodes, antennas leaves, and also flowering. And then we staged them based on a recent paper that we published with Dr. Heaton using the BBCH scale. This is a paper come out early October. If you Google Miscanthus BBCH scale, you will find it. But basically, that's the phenological scale that we use. The benefit of this system is that it's uniform. There are a lot of plants. It's uniform for all types of plants. And it's not study specific. There are other morphological stage scales in our for Miscanthus, but they're specific to each study group. So with this, it's uniform. We hope with this we could increase connection between labs. And then each stem that was staged was dry and weight. So with this, we could get the correlation between biomass and development. So this is what this is the graph for emergence. We have four plots. The first row stands for the data that was collected last year in 2016. So by that time, we had a one-year-old plant on your right and the two-year-old plant on your left. In the panel below, in the row below, that's the data from this year. So the stand that was sampled last year was two-year-old, now it's 3 years old. And the same for the one-year-old, now it's two-year-old. The data for this planting year, for 2017, we are still collecting, so I'm not going to talk about it. But what I want you to pay attention is that the black dot, the control plot, is always below the green lines. The shades of green represent the nitrogen fertilization rate. So I don't want to pay a lot of attention to actual rates, but the greener is the line, the more nitrogen was applied. It's consistent across these 2 years that the control plots, they emerge later. So in that case, nitrogen fertilization could set an advantage in emergence. Then for stem elongation, what's happening between emergence and flowering? The data for 2016 shows that the two-year-old stand, the control plot lays behind a little in terms of the number of nodes that we have. In the y-axis, is the stage for stem elongation, it goes from 0 to 10, just for you to have a reference. But basically, each point represents two palpable nodes in your stem. Then for 2017, the data is not as clear. For the three-year-old plant, it seems that the control plots are a little behind, but not clear. We still have data to put. I think we're going to have two or three more harvests across the growing season. But clear effect, 2016, when the crop was 2 years old. Flowering, the other landmark, and this is important because that's the end of the growing season, or at least the vegetative part of it. So in 2016, I brought this picture. This plot over here, 100% flowered, is a control plot. We collected this data early this month. Now we have same idea with stem elongation, 0 to 10, that's your range. The control plots, the black bars, no nitrogen fertilization, they are advancing flowering. So then the biomass, and again, the most clear nitrogen effect was in the two-year-old stand last year with the control plots being smaller. We think we're going to end up finding a difference in this, but we still need data to confirm it. So, but again, as I was saying at the beginning, this is relative to time, to calendar days, when we harvest it, when we have it. But as I was showing before, we also see that the control plots were behind in stem development. So what will happen if instead of having this as a matter of calendar day, we will have it as a matter of stem elongation or any other phonological measurement. And this is what we see. Now we have at each individual stem elongation, what was the biomass? And in this case, the two are all stand that the difference in nitrogen fertilization for biomass was clear, now it's not. And then in the other ones, we have no differences in biomass, so no difference in stem elongation either. So what we could say here is there is a difference if you sample in time, but when you made a fair comparison and sampled them when they're at the same stage, the differences are diluted. So as main ideas for my talk, the first one is planting year, establishment conditions, they affect nitrogen response. So maybe all the variability I show in the table at the beginning could be because of when you planted. Those conditions are not going to be repeated, and maybe our conclusions will be restricted to those conditions. That's why repeating this experiment in time gives you a wider scope. And then the fertilization in terms of phenology, they emerge earlier, they produce leaves faster in some years, and they flower later. So now from our model, now this is what we could see. We have a longer growing season, but since they flower later and senescence is mainly driven by a killing frost or a weather event, this could be shorter nitrogen cycle. And this is important, this could have impact on subsequent years in the biomass production. And then with this, the other thing is that nitrogen effect in biomass was somehow reduced when considering phenology. Again, now we are seeing that phenology could be a mechanism. Nitrogen affects phenology, and then this phenology effect is what changes biomass. It would be good to see what happened in other places. What was the phenology stage in all the other papers that were published, and see how this supports with more data. And with this, thank you very much. Yeah.
Would you recommend that nitrogen be applied in the establishment?
That's a good question. I personally wouldn't with this data. And my main thing is the leaching you have in the first year is important. But I know that some farmers may do it as an insurance policy. If you put nitrogen, you have more chances to have better establishment.
Do the sprouts come out all pretty much the same time in the spring, or is it spread out over a long period of time?
They are spread out, yeah.
Did you see any differences from sprouts early in the spring versus later on?
So what we say, in Iowa, this is sprouting, the emergence period starts around late April and will go till June. But we continue to see stem emergence now in the field. What happened is the vast majority, they emerge earlier in nitrogen, in fertilized crops. This is what I'm saying. So if you see this year, the control plots, they emerge earlier, but they all continue. So at some point, they all get to a level, and you have the same density in all your plots, but the emergence is faster in fertilizer.
Thank you.